RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
It's been a couple of weeks. You can feel the pressure building to this Thursday because Lindsay's back with another Perigo's Perspective. Hi, Lindsay. I hope you've occupied your time. Of course you have over the last 2 weeks. We missed you.
Well, so much has been happening, too much to bestow my perspicacious perspective on. But I'll do my best in the time available. I might stretch it out a wee bit this morning, Paul, if that's okay. But of course, we've got this momentous thing happening next week.
Yeah, it is momentous. Many people are saying it is the most momentous, can I say it like that, or consequential or whatever word, presidential election in the history of the Republic. Would you go along with that?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah?
All of the above. I wouldn't like to call it because I'm just looking at my screen and I've got a tweet from Orange Man Badass, which says, wow, York County, Pennsylvania received thousands of potentially fraudulent voter registration forms and mail-in ballot applications from a third-party group. This is on top of Lancaster County being caught with 2,600 fake ballots and forms, all written by the same person. Okay. Really bad stuff. So they're going to try it on again. But I have the sense, Paul, the Dems seem to be panicking, and that tells me that they realize the momentum is too much against them for them to be able to cheat their way out of it.
Or it might make them want to cheat harder. That's the question.
Certainly that they will try all the harder. They will stop at nothing, but I think they sense history has turned against them, and hence the panic mode that they're definitely in. They're flailing about, and they simply don't know what to do. And this resorting to calling all Republicans Nazis and Trump Hitler, all they need to do to see a real Nazi is look in the mirror. They're the totalitarians.
Yeah, totally. It's so projection, isn't it? It's monumentous projection. Floor is yours, Lindsay.
Yes.
Let's go.
All right. Well, I spent a lot of the last 3 weeks alternately singing with joy and barfing with disgust. The folding of the woke fascist disinformation project aimed at the elimination of free speech. That had me singing. The abandonment under duress by the woke fascist Solicitor General, a DEI appointee, of her attempt to bring apartheid into prosecution decisions. That had me singing. The pulling of government funding from the Jefe Nueva Teorica Research Center into violent extremism. That had me singing. Woke fascist front that it was, launched by a grotesque bunch of masked Marxists, whom you can still laugh at online. The insistence by Judith Collins, a DEI appointee, that the sinking of the Manawanui under the command of a DEI appointee had nothing to do with DEI before an inquiry has even begun, that had me barfing. The killing of the leaders of Hamas and his bollocks had me singing high seas worthy of Mario when I'm normally only a feeble bass baritone bathroom gurgler. But Pontius Peter's ongoing betrayal of Israel and pandering to savages had me barfing my guts out, only to start singing again when Israel struck back at the Ayatollahs. Oh, for the day Israel does to them what they want to do to Israel. The jailing again of Tommy Robinson for the crime of journalism and the betrayal of him by Nigel Farage and Reform had me barfing, but that one will have to wait for another day. The Commie Lala interview with Brett Baer had me singing and barfing simultaneously. Singing because the evil witch was so exquisitely bad, so comprehensively self-humiliated. Barfing because of her smug, snarky, whiny, sanctimonious, vacuous wokeness, her unapologetic, in-your-face evil. She cut the interview short at the get-go by arriving 10 minutes late. Her aides, realizing that it was turning into a train wreck, tried to cut it still shorter by making frantic wrap-it-up signals to Brett Baer, before it was due to end. Their panic was to no avail, as we saw enough. An empty pantsuit with nothing but ear-grating platitudes and lies, who wouldn't and couldn't answer the most straightforward and legitimate of questions.
How many illegal immigrants would you estimate your administration has released into the country over the last 3.5 years?
Well, I'm glad you raised the issue of immigration because I agree with you. It is a topic of discussion that people want to rightly have. And you know what I'm going to talk about.
Yeah, but
right
do you
now,
just a number. Is, do you but, think it's but, 1 million, 3 million?
Brett, let's just get to the point. Okay, the point is that we have a broken immigration system that needs to be repaired.
So your Homeland Security Secretary said that 85% of apprehensions.
I'm not finished. We have
an immigration system. It's a rough estimate of 6 million people have been released into the country. And let me just finish. I'll get to the question, I promise you.
I was beginning to answer.
And when you came into office, your administration immediately reversed a number of Trump border policies. Most significantly, the policy that required illegal immigrants to be detained through deportation, either in the U.S. or in Mexico. And you switched that policy. They were released from custody awaiting trial. So instead, included in those were a large number of single men, adult men, who went on to commit heinous crimes. So looking back, do you regret the decision to terminate Remain in Mexico at the beginning of your administration?
At the beginning of our administration, within practically hours of taking the oath, the first bill that we offered Congress, before we worked on infrastructure, before the Inflation Reduction Act, before the CHIPS and Science Act, before the bipartisan Safer Communities Act, the first bill, practically within hours of taking the oath, was a bill to fix our immigration system.
Yes, ma'am. It was called the U.S. Citizenship Act of 2021.
Exactly.
It was essentially a pathway to citizenship for the...
May I finish responding, please?
But
you have to let me finish,
you
please.
Had the White House and the House and the Senate,
I'm
and they
the
didn't bring up that bill.
I'm in the middle of responding to the point you're raising,
okay.
And I'd like to finish.
I think you did finish, which you finished your own career there and then. Kami Lala was then a no-show at the Al Smith Dinner, an annual white tie dinner in New York City to raise funds for Catholic charities in the Archdiocese of New York. Hosted by whichever gay as Gertie prelate happens to be Archbishop of New York at the time, the event honors Al Smith, who was the first Catholic nominated for president by a major party. He was the Democrat nominee in the 1928 election. It's usually the last event at which the two major party presidential candidates share a stage before an election. It has become the tradition for the two rivals to gently roast each other. Well, Kami Lala wasn't up for that. But of course, Orange Man Badass was. And the roasting was far from gentle. How delicious, by the way, to see the creepy, nasty Chuck Schumer seated right next to the podium, squirming as Orange Man Badass unloaded. White dudes for Kami Lala?
There's a group called White Dudes for Harris. Have you seen this? White Dudes for Harris. Anybody know? Are some of you here? White Dudes for Harris. Doesn't sound like it. But I'm not worried about them at all because their wives and their wives' lovers are all voting for me. Every one of those people is voting for me. Chuck Schumer is here looking very glum. Doesn't he look glum? He looks glum. But look on the bright side, Chuck, considering how woke your party has become. If Kamala loses, you still have a chance to become the first woman president. If you really wanted Vice President Harris to accept your invitation, I guess you should have told her the funds were going to bail out the looters and rioters in Minneapolis, and she would have been here guaranteed. She would have been here. Guaranteed. She would have been okay. She would have been okay with that. Well, I'd better wrap up because Mayor Adams told me earlier that I needed to make this one very quick, especially The city has reserved this room for a large group of illegal aliens coming in from Texas.
Hilarious, on target, and of course, it sent the mindless Marxist media maggotry into meltdown. Donald's stint at McDonald's had me laughing, designed as it was in part to point out the fact that when commie Lala claims to have worked at McDonald's, she is, as usual, lying.
Hello, everybody. This is not a normal situation, is it? What a good-looking family. There'll be no charge. Trump is paying for it. Now I have worked at McDonald's. I've now worked for 15 minutes more than Kamala.
Are you going to put this on your resume?
I never worked here. I worked at McDonald's.
Why would she lie about that?
Why? Because she's lying, Kamala, this way.
Hey, please.
I'm having a lot of fun here, everybody.
Oh, my God.
But I could do this all day. I wouldn't mind this job. I like this job. I think I might come back and do it again.
Thank you.
So stand by for the McOrange Man Badass Burger and the McMaga Burger. Commie Lala went on to do more train wreck interviews and labored rallies. Orange went on to crush it with Joe Rogan and at multiple jam-packed rallies every day, including at Madison Square Garden, an event dismissed by the Dem scum and the Marxist media maggotry, including Stuff, paid to attend by the Beijing Biden New Zealand embassy as a Nazi rally when they are the only Nazis in sight. Orange Man Badass looks to me to be set to crush the election, especially with Biden now having called Trump supporters garbage. But I shan't start to sing again until he's actually back in the White House. The dirty Dems will stop at nothing to stop him. Commie Lala, of course, reminds us New Zealanders of no one so much as another lying, quacking Islamo-Marxist, damn jabby jihadi Jacinda Jackboot, of less than fond memory.
So you basically said this is going to be like, well, it's almost like you probably don't see it like this. The two different classes of people, if you're vaccinated or if you're unvaccinated, you have all these rights. If you are vaccinated...
That is what it is. So, yep, yep.
Stay local and do not congregate. Don't talk to your neighbours. Please keep to your bubbles. We know from overseas cases of the Delta variant that it can be spread by people simply walking past one another. So keep those movements outside to the bare minimum. Wear a mask.
Otherwise, dismiss anything else. We will continue to be your single source of truth.
That's BAF material, of course, as is this little tidbit I came across in tracking down Damn Jabby.
I think it's fantastic. The same business that gave us Viagra through the miracles of science and capitalism has developed in record time a vaccine that solves one of the world's most pressing problems. I've read the material people have sent me about how people are dying and it's not really a vaccine and it doesn't work and so on. Let's be really clear. Hundreds of millions of people have had this vaccine. It reduces transmission. It reduces hospitalisation. It reduces death from COVID-19. Those are the facts. If you don't want it, you don't have to do it.
Oh dear, David. A corpse with a boner is still a corpse, even if it does have a smile on its face. Your precious non-vaccine, David, delivered lots of corpses. Roll on the second real commission of inquiry and let it investigate whether anyone was getting kickbacks from Pfizer. Is the Pope a Catholic? Oh, wait. Someone else who made me sing was Dan Wootton, Kiwi-born British broadcaster, in discussion with the magnificent Reverend Calvin Robinson, self-exiled anti-woke Anglican clergyman, lamenting the fact that Prince William had personally just presented Damn Jabby with her damhood.
I'm never angry with Prince William, but today I am so mad with Prince William, because he made the decision to personally bestow a damehood on the former Prime Minister of New Zealand, the disgraced Prime Minister of New Zealand, Jacinda Ardern. Here they are together. You know, they're great pals. She's involved in his Earthshot Prize. And Prince William has just made a mistake with Jacinda Ardern, because Jacinda Ardern, and I know this, you know, I have dual citizenship. A lot of people will know this. New Zealand born, but I'm British. My parents were born in Britain and I've spent my adult life in the UK, but I'm also a New Zealander and have a huge connection with that country of my birth. And no one woman has done more damage to my home country of New Zealand than Jacinda Ardern. Her policies over the COVID pandemic were nothing short of evil. I have friends who were police officers, pharmacists, veterinarians, teachers, who lost their jobs, who were essentially thrust out of society because of her vaccine mandate. I have close friends who missed their own parents' funeral because they were locked in her prisons. That's what they were. They were COVID prisons. And then, Father Calvin, I see William laughing along with this woman who he doesn't understand is one of the most controversial figures in New Zealand history, who has done more damage to New Zealand than anyone else. What? Because she's a globalist shill. It just upsets me, Calvin, because you know he would never do this with a right-wing politician.
If evil had a face, it would look very similar to Jacinda Ardern. The sneering and the laughter, the grinning as she was telling people that they were going to be locked in their homes or they were going to be forced to take medical interventions. It sent shivers down my spine every time she came on television. But then how she approached the media as well, when she said, "We will tell you what the truth is. We are the arbiters of the truth." She was a tyrannous dictator. It was absolutely horrifying to see her in action. I was so thankful when she got dismissed and great to see that.
Yeah, well, she left because she knew that she was going to be booted out in an historic election. She didn't even have the balls to face the public.
She saw the cards on the table. But why this is so worrying is because this kind of move could be the end of the monarchy. The monarchy is supposed to be apolitical. They're not supposed to be partisan in this way. Prince William has made friends with Jacinda Ardern. Ill-advisable, but you know, he can make friends. But when he oversteps that mark in offering a dameship to someone who is very clearly of the far left political persuasion, very clearly a globalist, very clearly hated by her own people and many people around the world, including ours, to overstep that mark and to provide her with that honorific title shows that he has become political in a way that he should never.
Let's hope woke William grows out of it, and all the other stupefied zombies who allowed themselves to be turned into stupefied zombies, not just by Pfizer poison, but the woke mind virus, the credulous, cretinous cowards who went along to get along, who virtue signaled with their pathetic Trump derangement syndrome. Deplorable as they are, they may not be irredeemable. Redemption may be at hand. The Orange event at Madison Square Garden bespoke a phenomenon too big to be denied by cheating or by the Marxist media maggotry, such as Stuff, who will never be convicted of the crime of journalism. To put it in Randian terms, America may be about to be saved in the nick of time by its sense of life. But make no mistake, this is it. This is the showdown between the likes of Soros, Komi Lala, Jacinda Jackboot, and all who belong to their sundry death cults, between them and Western civilization. One way or the other, for better or the very worst possible, history is about to be made.
This is the city where I was born and raised, and this is the town that taught me that Americans can do anything when they want to. So no matter our differences, when we work together, there is nothing that we cannot achieve. From New York to Las Vegas, from Philadelphia to Phoenix, from Chicago to Charlotte, from Atlanta to Detroit, this nation was built by generations of American patriots who gave everything they had for our rights, our future, and for our freedom. Through freezing cold winters and hot scorching summers, through storms and setbacks and conflicts and danger, our American ancestors pushed onward, marched forward, and overcame every single obstacle that stood in their way. Together they crossed the oceans, settled a continent, tamed the wilderness, laid down the railroads, raised up those mighty skyscrapers,
built the highways, won two world wars, defeated fascism and communism, and launched American astronauts to the moon. It was hardworking patriots like you who built this country. And 9 days from now, it's hardworking patriots like you who are going to save our country. After all we have been through together, we stand on the verge of the four greatest years in the history of the USA. With your help from now until Election Day, we will restore America's promise, we will put America first, and we will take back the nation that we all love. We bleed the same blood, we share the same home, and we salute the same great American flag. We are one people, one family, and one glorious nation under God. We will never give in, we will never give up, we will never, ever back down, and we will never, ever, ever, ever surrender. Together we will fight, 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 and we will win, win, win. We're gonna win, win, win. November 5th will be the most important day in the history of our country. And together we will make America powerful again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America healthy again. We will make America strong again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And we will make America great again. Thank you, New York. God bless you. God bless you all. Thank you.
up to you. No.
RCR mailing list. Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.